Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
Play ball!
It's time for the second game of our radio doubleheader.
To third base, that is a fair ball. Manny, an impossible play. Ah, got it! Manny Machado.
The inside story on baseball and more.
The winning run on second. I mean, who would you want up more than Johnny Trino? It's been a magical year for Johnny as he comes into the last game with a 699 average.
All right, come on, it's getting dark.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
It's a perfect day for softball here at the stadium. 55,000 on hand for Johnny Trino. Bobblehead day here. I mean, it's a great day for the kids. All fans 16 and under will get one. And can Johnny go for the 700 batting average?
Do you ever shut the f*** up?
On 1080 The Fan.
It's 805 here, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. This is the Hot Corner. We do this bad boy every single Wednesday night. Mike Lynch, Patrick Harris. You can find us on Twitter, Mike Lynch 27, P Diddy 085. Text Bridgeport Beers, text line 55305 that lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. Just a friendly reminder, we are in Special Olympics Radio-a-thon right now. So Isaac and Suk will be on tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. raising that dollar to benefit Special Olympics Oregon. You can text him 55305 with the words with the letters S-O-O-R to donate. You can also, get online at soor.org/donate to donate some stuff. A quick little tease. I'll be on tomorrow at 1:30 to offer. If you listen to the show, you know that I do work in beer outside of this station. I've got something really cool that we have been kind of building and growing and creating to donate for Special Olympics Oregon. Should be somewhere around like a $500 value. Just a little tease. There's a lot of beers. There's tours. There's food. There's history. If you like beer and you're excited about Portland beer, this is something you're not going to want to miss out on. Plus, I guess we'll do the peel back the curtain and I'll actually tell you where I work. I don't like doing that. You know, I've had somebody come to my job and be like, hey, you're you. And I was like, ooh, yikes.
Why not? You don't want to be recognized?
No, because I got work to do. All right. I don't mind that. It's like, oh, man, nice to see you. Thanks for listening. By the way, I have a restaurant to run right now. I don't have time for this.
Yeah.
Oh, man, but like the Cavs are up 97-95 with 20 seconds left. Why aren't they giving the ball to LeBron? It's like, I don't know, man. I need to know why my kitchen ain't getting food out in 15 minutes. I don't care. Sorry, I was just looking at the TV and making stuff up. LeBron made the shot and they won.
It was a highlight, yeah.
So, yeah, that's just whatever. Well, the New York Yankees have found themselves a manager, and I think we're all a little surprised. I think we heard a little rumbling. I didn't expect it to actually come to fruition, but Mike put a little whisper in my ears during the break, which kind of makes a whole lot of sense into why they make this move. But Brian Cashman hires Aaron Boone, the former 2003 ALCS hero and legend, which, by the way, for the record, is one of my favorite, like, baseball folklore stories of all time, with what Jeter whispered into his ear. Like, I get goosebumps when I think about that stuff.
Well, and it turned into Aaron Bleepin' Boone.
Yep.
Or if you want to go PC, Aaron, or PG, I should say, Aaron Freakin' Boone.
Yeah.
Was his nickname in Boston. Still is his nickname in Boston. So, in terms of that, I so hope that the Yankees do turn into like a really good team again, like we're thinking they might, and the Red Sox just like finish second every single year, and Aaron freaking Boone turns into the same. It's like the same thing.
Yep.
There's Aaron freaking Boone again.
Dang it, I hate that guy. Pay no attention to the fact that they have Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Aaron Judge, and Gary Sanchez.
Stop it. I can't handle that.
But Aaron Boone is hired as the manager for the New York Yankees, and we've seen this trend. So let's talk about the trend real quick before we talk about the fit. We've seen Brad Ausmus get hired. We've seen, even Joe Girardi getting hired. These former players that have been in baseball for a long time, they're not necessarily superstars. We've seen a lot with catchers, but
A.J. Hinch is one.
A.J. Hinch, but guys that weren't big-time players necessarily, but were steeped within baseball for a long time and seemed to have great minds, become managers a little earlier than we'd think. So I'm not necessarily shocked that Aaron Boone is the next guy in this. I just wonder if there was anyone else out there. Because we talked about this, and you know me, I'm a huge Girardi fan.
Yep,
I like Joe Girardi a lot, and there were reports or rumors or whispers at the end of the season that he's not super friendly with the young players and stuff like that. But I always thought Girardi was doing a great job in New York, better than anyone else would have done given the circumstance.
I agree. He was always in consideration and probably should have won it a couple of times, Manager of the Year, for what he did. Obviously, he won a World Series there, 2009. That was more, hey, here's an amazing team that we just signed with a bajillion dollars.
You better win a World Series.
It wasn't really amazing, but like A.J. Burnett was part of that signing class. But they still won the World
Carl
Series.
Carl Pavano?
No, that was, let's not remind me of that. That was like 2004, I think.
Sorry.
So he won a World Series, and then he brought a team that was frankly not very good a couple of years in a row, either to the playoffs in the wild card game or knocking on the door for the last week or so of the season for teams that really shouldn't have had any reason at all being there. So he was a great manager. He was a little bit overly tactical. He relied so heavily on his notebook that sometimes he wasn't very flexible.
Which in today's game, that notebook is just a translation of your gut on paper.
Well, it's more analytics, I think, based than that, but sure. And then, you know, he was really kind of, he overdid it with the bullpen a lot. A lot of bullpen like changes too quickly and stuff. So there were things that were negatives about Girardi, of course. And then I didn't know this, but we found out he wasn't great with the players, right? He's kind of a very like, I am one way. I'm a person. I am very serious. I will not talk to you about things or life or anything.
He became a crotchety old man overnight.
I guess. Yeah, sort of. I mean, I was sad that he's gone, but it's over. I mean, it's not like they won anything with him outside of the 2009, which wasn't really his team. So
I guess the question is when it comes to Aaron Boone, like who else was out there?
Well,
I mean, there's tons of retreads.
Well, no,
but the Yanks aren't about like hiring a Dusty Baker or a Jim Leland or a Buck Showalter.
Well,
you know?
if you saw the list of people they interviewed, a lot of guys who'd be getting their first chance at a managerial job. Mm-hmm. They interviewed Carlos Beltran. I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, I think he'll get a job.
Oh,
at
for
some
sure.
Point.
He was supposedly, he's very good with players. He was on the Yankees, so he knows a lot of them. Last year, 2 years ago now. They interviewed a guy named, I forget, I think it's like Davey Mertens or something. He was a San Francisco Giants assistant coach who's like very highly thought of. But I don't think, outside of Eric Wedge, who made it to like the final three, and I was like, oh God, don't hire Eric Wedge.
Mariner fans, Indian fans, cringe.
Yeah, exactly. It was all
Eric
new guys.
Wedge, two outs from World Series.
And I saw Aaron Boone's name on that list, and I went, huh, okay. I mean, he spent like 2 months with the Yankees and then like tore his Achilles or something playing basketball, and that's where A-Rod came from. So thanks, Aaron. But
and then he became an Indian. That's not true. So bad for the Indians.
No, he was a solid player, but I love him as an analyst. I think he's really smart. I think he always says things that I'm like, it makes me think. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting take. And I was intrigued, but I was like, ah, okay, Aaron Boone, whatever. And they hired Aaron Boone. And I went, okay. I wasn't overly excited. I wasn't disappointed. I mean, none of the potential candidates really excited me. I think they interviewed David Cone. That was interesting. Like, I would love if David Cone could be the manager, but I mean, maybe he's not as good with the players as Aaron Boone is. I have no idea. But David Cone's more of a Yankee than Aaron Boone is. So I don't know. I was very kind of neutral about the Aaron Boone hire. I wasn't excited. I wasn't sad. I was just, okay. There was a report out that the new manager is going to be kind of really heavily involved with the front office anyway, or they're going to be involved with the team. So the new manager is essentially going to be a puppet who has to be good at player relations. And the biggest strong suit of Aaron Boone, even as he's been an analyst, he's kept relationships with the players. And if that's what they wanted and that's the perfect fit, then great, do it. I'm not thrilled that the front office is going to meddle a lot, but if that's their plan, then okay, then that's their plan.
Yeah, I'm interested. And we'll continue this conversation when we come back. I kind of want to see, what does Aaron Boone bring this Yankee team to push them over the edge for next season that Girardi couldn't have done? We'll do that next on the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan. It is true. It's 818 here, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. This is the Hot Corner. We do this bad boy every single Wednesday night. What's the date right now? I got to look at this. You will not have me next week, Mike. This
well,
is
I'm
breaking
also out
news.
Next week.
What's that?
I'm out next week.
Perfect. Perfect. I have to fill in for a work shift next Wednesday night, so I won't be here because I have opening night at the Lloyd Center, 7 p.m., tickets to The Last Jedi. And I will get in line at about noon and sit there all day and eat food and drink beers and probably pass out in the middle of The Last Jedi by the time I get to it.
Well, next week I'm taking some of my last vacation days, so I will not be in on Wednesday next week either. So I guess that means no show.
Maybe Joe flies solo on the board. You want to teach him the ropes, Mike?
Really?
You said you've done it before.
I did it once. It was brutal.
You said it was really awful. I've done this show by myself maybe three times, something like that. Yeah, maybe three times. I even think I did Dusty and Cam by myself once with Crawford behind the board. And I feel like every time I do a show by myself, you know, because I have a great relationship with Joe, and I've got a pretty decent relationship with Alex, and I'm like, hey, I'm not really confident doing this by myself, but you're here with me, right? You'll chat with me. You'll help me make this. And they're like, yeah, totally. And then each time we get into it, they're like working on something else. And I'm like, yeah, don't you think so, Joe? And he's like, sorry, what? I'm not paying attention. And you're like, oh my God, dude. I had this 12-minute segment that I totally planned out, and I just finished talking, and I have 6 minutes left. Can you please save me?
Yes, help me.
They're like, sorry, what are you talking about? And you're like, kill me now. All right, we were talking about Aaron Boone being the manager, the new manager of the New York Yankees, and I guess where I want to get to now on this is just, what does this mean for the Yankees? Like, is this, I guess we can start with, is this an upgrade, or what does Aaron Boone, by being a player-friendly coach, do for this team to push them further? Because I would, what's he signed, a three-year deal?
I did not see the number. I mean,
I think he signed a three-year deal with an option for a fourth year, I think is what I saw. I remember it being low, and that kind of was like, oh, maybe they aren't super pumped about this hire. But I remember seeing 3 years with an option for a fourth. And my question is what does Aaron Boone bring to the table to catapult this young squad, who I imagine in the next 4 years, ownership, GM, fans – assume the Yanks should get a title in the next 4 years.
Or sooner. Yeah, or multiple. Sooner. You know,
yeah. One at least.
Giving the Yankees history,
yeah,
fans would expect a 96-like run coming soon.
Yeah. Or at least in the next 3 years, at least an appearance.
Right.
At the bare minimum.
Right.
At least an appearance.
You know, I think what they expect, at least what I expect, I mean, that's all I can really say. I really don't know what the Yankees expect, is I expect hopefully a team better apt to deal with a really stressful situation. If they're more comfortable in the clubhouse, if it's more of a fun atmosphere, assuming that's what Aaron Boone brings, maybe the stressful times don't get to them as much. I mean, we saw with the Astros, they seem like they had the most fun clubhouse that we've seen in a long time in baseball. And
yeah, looked like the 04 Red Sox.
They had that one period in the ALCS where they went down and they were striking out a lot. They got really frustrated, and it was like a three-game span, and then they clicked again. And the Yankees had a couple of sprees in the playoffs, the first few games against the Indians, and then at the end of that Astros series and the beginning of the Astros series, where outside of like getting some home runs, there didn't seem to be a lot of life a lot of the time. And I wonder, and I know some of it came from like Todd Frazier, not Joe Girardi. I wonder if maybe Aaron Boone being the manager can help bring it from one central source and then spread it throughout the whole team. So that'd be one thing that I would hope for, is maybe just a more positive attitude, more fun, maybe just, I don't know, just to deal with the stressful situation better of a long season. The other thing I would hope for is, he's never been a manager before, but he's been in baseball since he left. He's been analyzing games. He's been talking to coaches and players. Maybe he has some new ideas. Maybe he has things that he wants to try that he's in his head or even in a broadcast said that would work, but managers who are currently in the game are not trying it. Just a new approach to something that we haven't seen, or at least with the specific players on the Yankees, something that we haven't seen with them. Maybe moving them to a different position or different spots in the lineup, or helping push them in a certain direction with the way that they're practicing or training or whatever. Just something like that. Like, that's a change, because I mean, you have a manager for so many years, it probably gets very samey after a while. You know, it's the same kind of routine and all that kind of stuff. And that could be good for baseball players, but maybe something different would be better.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wonder. I mean, we're coming across on the Bridgeport Beers text line at 55305. I do believe this is a little satirical, but what does players coach mean comes through? And I agree, because I think there's an aspect, and I think, Mike, you touched on this, that Boone comes in and assuming, as you kind of mentioned, I don't remember if you said it on the air, but you said it to me off the air. He almost might seem like a puppet for Cashman,
yeah,
to get this. But if Cashman does get the right pieces in place, Boone is just there to make sure everyone's happy to be there, just excited to play and let them do their thing. He'll be, you know, he's going to be surrounded by great minds. I don't know if he's going to use.
Well, Rothschild is staying.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what previous managers are going to stay and what new guys he's going to bring in. We don't know anything about that necessarily outside of Rothschild.
I know Robbie Thompson, who was the bench coach, is leaving to be the bench coach. I want to say with like the Angels or something, but I don't remember.
But is like Tony Pena going to still be there, you know, and an old guard like that? But either way, whether they do or don't, you have to imagine guys like Aaron Boone are going to surround himself by great minds.
You can almost mirror that with college football right now. Like,
exactly.
Like Justin Wilcox at Cal goes as a first-time ever head coach. He's been as a coordinator for many years, but he goes and gets head coach Bo Baldwin from Eastern Washington to be his offensive coordinator. He goes and gets former head coach Tim DeRuiter to be his defensive coordinator, and he gets Steve Greatwood to come from Oregon down to Cal as an O-line coach because, you know, they blew the staff up when they brought in Taggart, who's now gone. And
peace.
You know, he built a great staff, and guess what? Cal was supposed to be terrible. And they weren't. I mean, they weren't good, but they were about a 500 team, which is amazing for what the talent Cal has.
They beat my sorry-ass football team.
So building a good staff, I mean, hell, if you want to use Taggart, he built a great staff. Jim Leavitt made the defense much better. They brought in great recruiters like Leavitt and Cristobal, et cetera. So, like, they had guys who came in who helped around a head coach who had to do other things. So that's just as important in baseball, but it's just not as talked about because it's like it's always the manager. But it's really important to have a good pitching, hitting, and bench coach, and et cetera.
Yeah, Boone will make the call, but he's going to look to his Mel Stottlemyre and say, hey, I think we should pull this guy. What do you think? And he's going to be like, yeah, no.
Of course.
Maybe.
You talk to those guys all the time.
Yeah. So if you want, it almost feels like the Yanks are gearing themselves up to put a guy in place that's a great face. And I mean that in a positive way. I don't want to take away from Boone. I mean, we don't know what he's going to be like as a manager.
He's a great talker.
But he's a great face. Like, I think he, like we said, he knows baseball well. He's kind of more new age. He's still been in the game since he's left. But I think he's going to show a good face. Like, I think that was the biggest problem with Ausmus in Detroit, is he was a catcher for a long time in baseball, clearly knows the game, but he wasn't likable. You know, he didn't seem cheery on the sidelines, you know, in the dugout. He didn't seem like this kind of guy that was, yeah, man, I'm surrounded by all these great guys, because his Detroit staff was amazing, full of a bunch of great baseball people.
Well, it's interesting because I wonder how much of that's intentional, though. Like, when you think about it, like, the Astros were awesome, right? Mm-hmm. AJ Hinch looked like the most depressed person ever every game. He was just staring straight and thinking. Like, even Terry Francona, who always builds a good culture, maybe too good of a culture sometimes, but a good culture, he's serious all the time. He goes and takes that tobacco, wraps it in the gum, sticks it in his craw, and then he just stares ahead. I mean, I guess because you're always calculating. You can't just be like happy-go-lucky.
You can't rah-rah like college football. Well, you can't be a Willie Taggart.
You can.
Can you?
Because the other World Series manager is that, Dave Roberts. He is super rah-rah for the Dodgers. He's always clapping. He's always cheering. And obviously it worked because it got him to the World Series.
But that's also a great point. That Dodgers team is loaded. Okay,
so the
Astros team is loaded, quote unquote. So are the Yankees, quote unquote. But there's not a whole lot of proven dudes on those teams.
That's true, yeah.
And so
I think you can say the Astros are proven now.
Now they're proven, but I would say going into the playoffs, we wouldn't say that. Sure, watching their run the way they did it in the playoffs. I mean, we sat here and we were still like, maybe the Indians, maybe the Astros, maybe the Yanks on an outside edge. You know,
we wrote
like,
the Astros off because they had kind of
tapered
radar
off.
In the second half of the year.
And then they showed up and proved their worth. To where I think the Dodgers already had guys in place that were kind of proven, so it's a little easier, in my opinion, for Roberts to be more of a rah-rah manager, to where Boone's going to have to get those guys up. Like, Boone's going to have to do what A.J. Hinch did, what Alex Cora did for that Houston Astros team, and say, look, you know you're good, you know you can do this, you have to believe in yourself. And I guess that's what they were worried about with Girardi.
Yeah, and
that he couldn't do that.
If Aaron Boone can do that, then I think he's the perfect fit. If he can be a good voice for the Yankees, if he can be a good voice for the players, both in and outside of the clubhouse, then I think it's a golden hire. I mean, we have no idea how he's going to be in terms of tactically,
right?
During a game.
I don't think AJ Hinch is a good tactical manager. I saw that in the World Series.
True.
Dave Roberts is the same. I thought they were the two worst managers to ever manage a World Series team.
True. A lot of it's based on the analytics now, which kind of mars the need to be smart of an in the moment kind of guy, because you're just following the numbers.
Yeah.
Frankly, and maybe in a bit of a scary way, the Yankees said they want to be even more analytical than they have been. So that could be a trend that they're going to follow as well. But the way I said it to you is, this hire was very meh to me.
Yeah.
It's not a negative thing. It's not a bad thing. It's just, okay, show me what you can do. I'm not excited by it, but show me what you can do. And if it works, it works. Great. I'll love Aaron Boone if the Yankees win a World Series under him. But, I mean, is it really going to be him? Or is it going to be the combination of him joining a team that's ready to go with a GM who's really smart?
Yeah, I think this is Cashman's game right now. I mean, and like I was saying, and we'll get out on this, is I just don't know who else was out there. You know, and if you're gonna take a risk on some no name and have it turned over to your GM and hopefully put a manager in with a good face and a bright smile and not screw it up, then maybe Aaron Boone is your best hire. But again, they're not going after a Dusty Baker. You know, there's no like. The Yankees at this point aren't going to go get a Tony Dungy, a John Gruden, a Bill Cowher. They're not going to retread like that. At least I don't think so. All right, when we come back, maybe we'll touch on a little college football playoff, see our initial reactions. Might get to a little later on before the games actually happen, but we'll start there. But first, here's Mike with sports.
A Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Sometimes you got to do things on your own.
I can click buttons. I was talking. I was conversing.
Sometimes I like to click buttons. I was about to say kick buttons.
Kick butt?
Kick rocks.
Kick butt, take names.
Kick butt, take names.
Kick push, as Lupe Fiasco would say.
I don't know who that is. That sounds made up.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
You like rap?
Yeah.
Lupe is great.
Who's that?
Lupe Fiasco.
Doesn't sound like a rapper to me.
Are you BSing me right now?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I know who he is.
You don't like him?
Well, it's not rap.
Well, he's hip-hop, whatever.
It's not.
What would you call Lupe Fiasco?
I bet you if Lupe Fiasco was a baseball player, he'd bat like 268.
Solid little rapper.
Yeah, solid little rapper.
Okay.
Nothing really great.
I love Lupe, so
right,
I'll disagree with you on that one.
The college football playoff was announced the other day, and... Sorry, that's just my opinion. And there's four teams in there, and it couldn't be more regional. Let's just pick five states that we like really a whole lot that are kind of all connected to each other and make those teams play each other.
Wow.
That's just kind of the way I feel
about
it.
Someone's a little salty about the Pac-12 not making it, huh?
It's not even that. And I don't even have an opinion on whether they got it right or got it wrong. I just think the whole thing is just such garbage, and they've found a way to create – probably the most non-interesting games I could ever think of.
Wait, really?
Yeah. I mean, I watch college football, so I understand. Clemson, Alabama, I'm going to watch that again, but I get no Deshaun Watson. I get no stellar running back from Alabama or a quarterback that I know. I mean, sure, I know the kid he played last year, blah, 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 blah. But, like, that's not exciting.
His name's Jalen Hurts.
I know Jalen Hurts. And then you get Oklahoma, Georgia. Okay, like, cool. Baker Mayfield is not super exciting to me. He's like...
That's it. So I'm really interested about this. So I'm totally with you about the Clemson-Alabama thing. Like,
I like Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's going to win it.
They're really fun.
But I think they're fun to watch. I think they're going to win the whole thing.
I like Clemson-Alabama as a theory, right? Mm-hmm. I love that we get to see it again. We've seen them a couple of times. It's kind of like the grudge match, even though it's not the final.
Oh, we call that a rubber match?
The rubber match, yes. But I've said this before. I want variety. I want parity. And it sounds so crazy coming from a Yankee fan who doesn't want it with his own team, of course. I'd love the Yankees to win every year. But if it's not my team winning, I want parity.
Right.
So I am 192% sick of seeing Clemson play Alabama. However, even though I'm sick of it, I'm also not going to say I don't want to watch it because they're two of the best teams in college football. So I know it's the same uniforms, but it is Kelly Bryant at Clemson instead of Deshaun Watson. He's also very good. Obviously, the coaches are the same, and that kind of creates a little bit of a storyline. So as much as I don't want to see it, I kind of do want to see it, and I like that it's not the final. I like that
I think you have something there.
One of the two teams will make it again, but they're going to go up against, in the college football playoffs lifespan, a new team.
Right.
In either Oklahoma or in Georgia, and especially in Georgia. I mean, Oklahoma's made it before the playoff, but what I do like about it, I love the system because it at least gives you three meaningful games instead of one. Because before, I mean, like, look, you can say the Rose Bowl is meaningful and all that, but it doesn't mean anything outside of bragging rights.
That's
in the Pac-12.
Timeout. That's coming from an East Coast kid.
No, but I'm going to say this about every bowl game. I think bowl games are fun for the idea of them, but what do you get? A trophy for winning the Rose Bowl against a team in another conference? That's not something for me.
Stop, man. Rose Bowl is tradition.
Of course, Rose Bowl is history.
No.
Orange Bowl is tradition.
No, stop. Orange Bowl is not tradition. It's a team from the South, hopefully a team from Florida, playing some other great team. Since the dawn of man, Rose Bowl has been Big Ten, Pac-10.
When I was a kid, whatever
team you rooted for, I was a Wazoo kid, you know, whatever team you rooted for, you didn't care about Heismans. You didn't care about national championships. You didn't care about rankings. Nobody gave a bleep and bleep about any of that unless you won a Rose Bowl.
Okay.
If you won a Rose Bowl, that was it.
I don't care
about titles.
I will accept your argument.
I beat Michigan. I beat Wisconsin. We beat Ohio State. We beat Purdue in the Rose Bowl.
Got it.
Which the Huskies lost to Purdue in the Rose Bowl. FYI, Drew Brees was the quarterback.
I will accept your argument, and I will say that to me, it doesn't mean anything, but to people who grew up here, sure, it might mean something more, or who are big Pac-12 or Pac-10 college football fans.
Yeah.
But to me, okay, so maybe the Rose Bowl is the wrong argument, but the bowl system in general.
I know what you mean. I went on a tangent.
No, it's fine. You can defend your point. It's totally okay. The bowl system to me is meaningless. It's just, here's a bunch of games that'll make money for the conferences and for the sponsors of the bowls, and they're meaningless to me, right? The college football, and the only meaningful game was the national title game. To me. So now there's three meaningful games, the semifinals and the national title game. I like the college football playoff because of that, because frankly, I love the idea of bowls. I get hyped up for the first week of it. And then I go, why am I watching these? These suck. And then I'll watch the big games. And I'm like, this team doesn't care. This team didn't have players show up because they want to save for the NFL. Like one of the two Pac-12 games, the USC Ohio State game or the Washington Penn State game, I guarantee you one of those is going to be like a blowout with one team who's like half showing up. Like,
it's probably going to be the Huskies.
It's like, because it's a weird bowl game, right?
Yeah. I mean, I heard Andrew Nemec this morning on Dusty and Cam, and he was talking about, you know, the fallout from Taggart and recruits and where this goes from here and blah, 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 blah. And then Cam asked the question. He was like, how does this affect the bowl game? And even Nemec was like, oh, right. None of us care about that.
It affects the bowl game because there was like a recruiting schedule or something.
Right.
But I mean, like, yeah, Oregon making the Las Vegas Bowl. I mean,
nobody cares.
Sure. Oregon, after winning four games, made a bowl game again. But in the end, are you going to remember a Las Vegas bowl against Boise State? No, you're not.
I like that you talk trash like I would talk trash. And I hear what you're saying. But I guess I want to get back to this Alabama-Clemson thing. And I guess for this being the rubber match, it's the least exciting game of the three they've played. And not because the others were for national championships. That's not what I mean.
That does help.
It's for star power. It's for excitement. It's like the only two people a lot of guys are going to know on the field for the Bama-Clemson game are Dabo and Nick.
That is very true.
And I think that, and as much as I love college for the non-big name guys, I think that's just not that exciting. And Georgia's the same way. I mean, the only reason Oklahoma's exciting is because they got the Heisman Trophy winner on their team.
The assumed Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah.
Don't give me this assumed. He's winning it. Well, they showed you the list. When they said Lamar Jackson, I was like, wow, they're really giving it to Baker Mayfield.
Well, here's the thing about Lamar Jackson. His stats are even better than his stats last year when he won the Heisman.
Yeah, and they lost five games this year, and they're trash.
So my whole thing about this is, and this might be just a this year thing. I haven't thought about it enough. I just thought about it now. It feels like college football is lacking a little bit of star power in general this year. Like, Baker Mayfield is the star of college football this year, right?
Right.
Because he's really electric on offense. He was an idiot and made like the crotch grab things against Kansas, and he was in the news for both good and bad. Sam Darnold certainly, or Josh Rosen would be star power, but Rosen got hurt. Darnold struggled at USC.
It was a bad O-line.
Outside of that, I mean, I guess you had Bryce Love, but a running back at Stanford isn't really star power.
Right. But I would argue
Saquon Barkley in Penn State. Again, a running back at Penn State, not exactly star power. They're very between the tackles guys.
I would argue Saquon Barkley, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen,
Baker Mayfield,
JT Barrett. I'm trying to think.
I wouldn't even put JT Barrett on there.
I would. He's a four-year starter at Ohio State.
But he kind of sucked this year for half of the season.
Yeah, but he's a four-year starter at Ohio State. I would say those four guys are as known as Baker Mayfield.
Oh, and combined?
Combined. Well, no. Just all of them on their own.
Oh, okay.
Are as big a star power as Baker Mayfield, yet Baker Mayfield's the only player on any of those teams. And so I guess for me, the toughest thing about this is go to somebody who likes college football and gets excited and wants to watch the playoff. Go ask them, you know, name me one player from Georgia. Name me one player from Clemson.
Is Nick Chubb still in Georgia?
See, you just asked that.
I think
he is. You follow college football, Mike. You know what I mean? Yes, he is still on Georgia. He's a senior on Georgia. They've got some other kid who's a great running back as well, who's kind of carrying the load with him. But I mean, we're talking the four best teams in the nation, and the three people can name are Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, and Baker Mayfield. Yet they know who Sam Darnold is. And I'm not saying those teams should be in. That's not what I mean. I just think this is just so lackluster, and it's so regional, and it's so the South. For people on the West Coast, people in Big Ten country, you think we really give a bleep about this? I don't. I mean, are we going to watch it for good games? Sure. But do I really care who wins? Not in the slightest. I am not going to look back on my days and be like, wow, the 2017 national champion, that Baker Mayfield, that Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley, man, that team was so great. Remember that dude at wide receiver and that linebacker? No, stop.
Well, it might change if they have two great games, though. If they play two great games, then you might remember Baker Mayfield and the 2017 Sooners. I mean, did you care more when Washington was in it last year? In terms of like a hating Washington kind of thing?
Well, yeah, but I think that's tough because that's regional. But I know who Deshaun Watson is, okay? I know who Jake Browning is. There's who was the fourth team? Or let's take
Ohio State.
Let's take JT Barrett. I know who he is. Let's take the year before that, okay? I know who Ezekiel Elliott is. I know who Jameis Winston is, who Marcus Mariota is, those kind of guys. And who was the quarterback?
AJ McCarron,
yeah. Cardale Jones. Like, I know who these people are, and I'm excited about this instead of just Paul Feinbaum's Final Four. Like, I don't give a rip. That's okay, not exciting to me.
But you also admitted that this would be the four teams you'd probably pick, right?
I mean, yeah.
If you're doing it based on eye tests and all that kind of stuff, sure, flip Ohio State and Alabama, whatever. These are the four teams that you probably pick.
I'd probably pick these four. I think what would be more.
So then the whole point of the system is correct.
Yeah. I think what would be more exciting is if the final four were 5 through 8. If it were Penn State, USC, Ohio State, and I don't know, Auburn. Right. Like, that would be a final four. I would watch those games. I would watch those games, and I would love those games.
Well, so you're saying you want an 8-team playoff then, which, well, I think we all do.
Yeah, sure. But, like, I'm more
Central Florida.
I'm more excited about the Cotton Bowl. I'm more excited about the Fiesta Bowl.
But Pac-12 ties.
Sure. But I think they're also better matchups. USC, Ohio State, I don't know who I'm picking in that game. UW, Penn State, I'm probably leaning towards Penn State, but Chris Peterson's better coach than James Franklin.
But again, this is the regional thing, right? You are a very West Coast-based college football fan.
Fair.
You love the Pac-12.
I'm trying to look at it non-biasly.
But the bias is showing through. You want the Pac-12 involved. You've got two SEC teams, you've got an ACC team, and you got a Big 12 team in the college football playoff, and you're sitting there going, the closest team to me is Oklahoma?
Gross.
No. So, look, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who are like you, and they like college football, but they love the Pac-12. They love West Coast football, even the Mountain West, if you're like a really hardcore football fan.
You were saying this earlier, though, parity. This, to me, doesn't look like parity.
But it's two teams. Well, it's Georgia and Oklahoma who haven't had that many chances at it.
Well, and I just don't
half like, of it is parity.
I also don't like the ESPN factor in this. I don't like that if Auburn wins the SEC title, they can get in with two losses. But if Wisconsin loses, they're toast. You know, it's just there's just way too much garbage. We'll talk about that next. This is the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
I was kind of going on a tangent, I guess, about my regional bias. It helps, Mike, that you're East Coast. Put me in check sometimes.
Well, the funny thing, too, is I didn't grow up a college football fan. You know, it's like, it's different out there, at least where I grew up in the Northeast. It's very different than, like, the Southeast. College football, like, doesn't really matter out there when I grew up.
Yeah.
The closest team to me was Rutgers.
Yeah.
And Rutgers stinks.
Yeah.
Next closest team is Penn State or Boston College or Syracuse, and three of the four of those are bad.
Yeah.
It's a college basketball region. So college football for me, yeah. College football for me as a fan started when I went to college because I had a team to root for, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, there's a whole new world. It was actually kind of fun. Like, you discover a whole new sport. Like, when the first time I ever discovered the Premier League and I got, like, really sunk into it in soccer – it's so fun.
Yeah.
Because it's like you got to learn all these things. So that was with college football with me. Because I'm not kidding you. I did not watch college football growing up.
That's so wild.
It wasn't even a thought.
Yeah.
None of my friends cared.
And I was trained that, you know, in the Big Ten, it wasn't like who you root for, Ohio State, Michigan. In that game, who do you root for? It's like we didn't even watch the game. Screw those guys. And if we watched the game, it was to scout for who our team was going to play in the Rose Bowl.
And, like, my parents both went to a State University of New York school. They don't have football there.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, for me growing up, unless a friend of mine's parents went to Penn State, which was possible, none of my friends cared about college football. Because you become a fan of the team that your parents root for, or where you grew up, if you grew up in if you grew up here, your parents don't have to go to Oregon for you to be an Oregon fan. They could have went to Lewis and Clark or whatever.
Point proven.
Exactly.
Duck fans.
But, you know, for me, it wasn't something that I cared about. So I started caring in 2007 when I went to college.
Yeah.
And so I've been a 10-year college football fan. It's a little bit different for me. That's all.
And I guess my biggest problem is, you know, because you're right. Like, the top four teams, okay, sure, you might switch out Ohio State and Alabama or whoever. But I think for me the way this college football playoff has gone and has the chance to go is it just creates so much more opportunity to isolate people than it does to bring us all together. You know, I think you get lucky in years where your final four are Ohio State, Alabama, Florida State, Oregon. You know, that's insane. That's all four corners. That's two teams from the South, a Midwest, and a West Coast. You're not going to get that all the time, and I understand that.
That's up to those corners to have good seasons.
Right, right, and I understand that. I guess this season, and I I'm jumping on the wagon. I really hate how much ESPN has a say in this, and that's, I think, what drives me crazy, and that points me to why I don't really want to watch these games, because I don't care. You know,
why do you think ESPN has a say? They're not on the committee.
Because they have an agenda.
Right, but they're
not. But they promote it.
They're not on the, well, it's because it's on their channel, but.
Yeah, but they promote it. You don't think those guys make phone calls?
Maybe.
Saying, hey.
I'd like to believe they don't, because I'd like to keep the thought that it's a very pure.
You don't
like
think.
Like, people take themselves off the committee who have teams who are considered. There are people who are on the committee who were like, tied to certain programs, and they said, we cannot help you right now because of our biases. They removed themselves.
But if it's a debate between Auburn and Ohio State, ESPN, or Alabama and Ohio State, you're going to tell me ESPN isn't like, yo, that SEC network deal? Yo, can we get that Alabama in instead of Ohio State?
Yeah, but if you think about it this way, what's actually a bigger brand? Ohio State. Alabama's been better lately.
I agree, but ESPN doesn't have Ohio State games. They have Alabama games because they have the SEC network.
I don't agree with that.
Conspiracy.
Yeah.
All right, that's all we got today. We're running over. Just a reminder, the Special Olympics of Oregon Radiothon is still going on. You can log on to the internet, soor.org/donate, to donate some money. Isaac and Suk will be on tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. to do this bad boy and raise over $175,000. Let's beat the record from last year. I'll be on at 1:30 with a cool, cool offer from the brewery that I work for. For Mike Lynch, I'm Patrick Harris. We won't see you next week, but maybe we'll see you sometime this year. Who knows?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.